The following program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Family Face Ministries.
I'm Dino, and here we are again back at the Revolutionary Family. And I just want to start off today by saying that God inspired this podcast in us, in this ministry, to talk to you about family topics and share biblical principles about how you can have a revolution inside of your home, in your family. A family revolution, hence the name, the Revolutionary Family. How about that, right? Pretty creative, eh? Okay, so listen to this definition of revolution. Revolution. A fundamental change in the way of thinking or visualizing something. A change of paradigm. Now, let's apply that to family, and let's insert the word family in a couple spots. Okay, here we go. Family revolution, a fundamental change in the way we think or visualize family, a change of family paradigm. Now, if you're a first-time listener, I want you to understand the reason it's different. The reason it's a fundamental change is not because we're redefining what family is. It's because in general, the world as a whole has slowly drifted away from the traditional family, from the look and the feel and the operation of a family the way God designed it from the start. At Family Face Ministries, we talk about doing family God's way. And if you think about it, doing it God's way, it's radically different than the way a lot of people are doing things today. That's why it's fundamentally different. That's why it's a paradigm shift. That's why it's radically different. It's a family revolution. Got it? Okay. So then for Jody and I, when we had our light bulb moment, when we got the revelation of these principles from the Bible that we could implement in our own marriage and in our own family, and when we started applying those principles, applying God's truth and his word to our marriage, to our family, to raising our children, that's when we saw transformation take place. That's when we saw the revolution take place in our family. And guys, I'm just going to be honest with you right now. It was so transformational that we can't help but share those concepts with you and your family. That's why we do what we do at Family Face Ministries. So, in this podcast series, we've been talking about God's 10 principles for building strong families. And let me remind you that these 10 principles for building strong families come straight from the 10 commandments that God gave to his people. Now, maybe you're like I was at one point in my life, and the 10 commandments seem like a list of demands that are impossible to meet. Or maybe you're like others who believe it's just this big list of prohibitions that puts a limit on your freedom. Well, what the 10 commandments truly are limits or boundaries that are filled with God's love for us. And when we follow and obey them, they actually allow us to enjoy life without having to experience the consequences that come with disobeying them. If you think about it, they're just another expression of God's love for us, and that's pretty cool. It's really cool how much God loves us. So we want to look at the Ten Commandments. God's 10 principles for building strong families. and see how we can apply them to our families today. And we've been through two commandments already in previous episodes. So today's episode, we're going to be focusing on the third commandment, and we're going to see how it can build our families and make them stronger. All right. The third commandment concerns the name of God, and the primary passage that talks about it is in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, verse 7. This is the third commandment that's given to the nation of Israel, and I'll read it to you now. It goes like this. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Okay, so let me ask you this. When you heard me read that, what did you think it meant when it talked about taking the Lord's name in vain? What does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? What does it actually mean to use the Lord's name in vain? Well, usually when people read this, they automatically think about what they call profanity, right? They equate it to what they call cursing or cussing or swearing. But there's a problem with that. The problem is we've somehow way oversimplified this third principle for building strong families and distilled it down to not using the Lord's name as a swear word. And you think, yeah, that's what it means to use the Lord's name in vain. And that's partially right. But even though a lot of people believe that taking the Lord's name in vain refers to using the Lord's name as a swear word, there's so much more involved with a vain use of God's name. So this oversimplification doesn't even begin to capture the breadth of what God is saying here when he says, don't use the Lord's name in vain. Actually, the word vain in Exodus 20, verse 7, is the Hebrew word shav, S-H-A-V. And it means carelessly, meaninglessly, no rhyme or reason, non-productive. Actually, the concordance in my Bible has words like emptiness, nothingness, vanity, emptiness of speech, worthlessness. Interestingly enough, it even mentions in one spot the word lying. And ignoring this command comes with serious implications. This principle carries a significant weight. A person who misuses God's name will not be held guiltless by the Lord. In other words, the Lord's not going to overlook those who don't treat his name the way it's supposed to be treated. So, to really understand the severity of taking the Lord's name in vain, we really need a good understanding and have to see the Lord's name from his perspective, just the way it's outlined in Scripture. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like we tend to downplay the importance of names in our culture. But that wasn't always the case. Actually, in ancient cultures, your name actually meant something. It had value. It told others who you were. And the same is true with the name of God. His name has meaning and power. It's holy. So for that reason, we shouldn't use it as if it's empty, hollow, worthless, or by the definitions we just talked about, in vain. As you read through the Bible, the God of Israel was known by many names and titles, but the concept embodied in God's name plays an important and unique role in the Bible. God's nature and attributes, right? The totality of his being, and especially his glory, are reflected in his name. Listen to these verses. Psalm 8, verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Psalm 111, verse 9 says, He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name So cool. It tells us his name is holy and awesome. And even the Lord's Prayer begins by addressing God with the phrase, hallowed be your name. Right? Matthew 6, verse 9 says, Jesus said himself, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This right here is an indication that a reverence for God and his name should be foremost, right? Even in our prayers. The name of the Lord is holy because he is holy. His name is a representation of his glory, his majesty, his supreme deity. So, thinking of all of that now, here's the deal. Because of the greatness of the name of God, any use of God's name that brings dishonor to him or to his character is what taking his name in vain means. Because Yahweh is holy and deserving of utmost respect. The third of the Ten Commandments, this third principle for building a strong family, specifically addresses the use of his name and forbids taking or using it in an irreverent manner, because that would indicate a lack of respect for God himself. To treat that name lightly or with disrespect would be to diminish the reverence that's due to God. So we have to esteem and honor his name the same way we revere and glorify God himself. And to do anything less is to take his name in vain. Now, like always, we want to give you some examples of taking God's name in vain and help you think of some ways you can apply this to your family. So here we go. First of all, the one we already mentioned, don't use God's name as profanity. Don't take his holy name and use it to give voice to your unholy feelings. When you use God's name in profanity, it shows two things, an empty head and a wicked heart. What does the Bible say? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Profanity is needless, and because of that, it's an inexcusable it's an inexcusable thing. What does a person get when he takes God's name in vain? I think the command said he will not hold us guiltless. Yikes. So honor God's name, because to honor God's name is to honor God. In this example, taking the Lord's name in vain means using God's name in a disrespectful way. And that is even in ways you might think aren't as serious as swearing. Here's a couple other ways the Lord's name is used in vain that are probably as equally used in vain as swearing or profanity, but yet people don't think anything about it. Now, I don't even like to say some of them, but I don't know how else to get it across to you. Don't even use secondhand curse words like darn, dang, gosh, or gee. Those are just euphemisms for the D word and God and Jesus, right? Many people would be surprised if they realized what they were saying when they say, gosh darn. Just be careful, people. Okay? And here's another real popular one. People will say, oh my God. I don't like to say that, but there's not a whole lot of difference between saying that and saying damn and God together. I've heard people say things like, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. Some people say, Lord Almighty. I heard one guy say cheese and rice instead of, you know, what rhymes with that. I'm not going to say it. These kinds of exclamations and declarations are not okay. Don't use them. No slang expressions. When you say Jesus or when you say Christ, see to it that you are talking to him or you are legitimately really talking about him. Everybody clear on that? I don't care who thinks it's cool. I don't, you know, it's just a plain fact. We honor our God. And it builds a strong family. It does. Let's be the ones that say, as for me and my family, we will honor the name of God. Is that okay? I hope so. It'll make your family stronger. This is a foundation principle from centuries back. Don't use the name of God in vain. So, to apply it to your family, here's a real simple rule for your household. If you say anything about God or the Lord, you better be talking to him or about him. Otherwise, you're using his name in vain. See to it that you're either talking to him or you're legitimately talking about him, right? Okay? Okay. Here's another one. Don't swear falsely in God's name. Don't use God's name to make an oath or to make a false statement. In the Old Testament, bringing dishonor on God's name was done by failing to perform an oath or a vow that was taken in his name. Leviticus 19:12 says, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely." Any man who used God's name to legitimize his oath and then turned around and broke his promise would actually indicate his lack of reverence for God, as well as, in my mind, a lack of fear of his holy retribution, right? It was essentially the same as denying God's existence. Now, that was in the old covenant, yes. Today, we don't even need to use God's name to legitimize an oath. You know why? Because we shouldn't be taking oaths in the first place. Matthew 5:33-37 talks about simply letting your yes be yes and your no be no. And there is a third part, a larger sense in which people take the Lord's name in vain today. Don't treat God as if he's unreal, as if he doesn't exist or as if he isn't present with you. Never live your life as if God doesn't exist. He does exist, and he is right here with you. So live your life with an awareness of the presence of God. He's real. He's here. People who name the name of Christ, who pray in his name, and who take his name as part of their identity, but who deliberately and continually disobey his commands are basically taking his name in vain. Jesus Christ has been given the name above all names at which every knee shall bow, right? It says that in Philippians chapter 2. And when we take the name Christian upon ourselves, we have to do it with an understanding of everything that that entails. Here are some eye-opening thoughts. If we claim to be Christians, but then act, think, and speak in a worldly or profane way, we're taking his name in vain. When we misrepresent Christ, either intentionally or by ignorance of our Christian faith, we take the Lord's name in vain. How about this one? When we say we love him, but don't do what he commands, we take his name in vain. So I think by now you can see how observing this command can change how you live. Can you see how it can make your family stronger? So let's talk now about another aspect of it. Think about prayer. Taking the Lord's name in vain can also mean using God's name in a meaningless way. And every Christian uses God's name when they pray. Think about this. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So how often is it when we pray that we do go boldly, that we just barge right in on God's presence with a to-do list for him without being the slightest bit mindful of his holiness, his awesomeness, and the, how do I say it, the gigantic difference that separates our nature from his. That fact that we are even allowed to come before his throne at all is due to his gracious, merciful love for us. Think about it. We should never take that grace for granted. When we say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, it's serious. We don't say it mindlessly. It is really important to realize what a privilege it is. We have access. We have access to the throne of the Almighty in that name. Amen? And when you go into prayer with that mindset, that is a foundation to start your prayer off of. We know who we're praying to, right? We're praying to him by faith, praying to the Father in the precious, reverent name of Jesus. Okay. Now let's talk about one more important aspect of not using God's name in vain. Five words. And when I say these five words, you might think, well, Dino, what does that have to do with using the Lord's name in vain? So here goes. Practice the presence of God. Remember, we are carriers of his presence. So what does that have to do with it? Think about it this way. When you go into a store and you encounter an employee that's rude, you'll probably be less likely to shop there in the future, right? Well, the reverse is also true. If you encounter an excellent employee at a store, you'll probably be more likely to return there and shop there again. They represent the company they work for, and what they do and say tells you something about the company. The same is true for all who follow God. We bear his image. What we do, how we treat others, and what we say tells someone something about him, good or bad. The challenge of this verse is to represent God well. Think for a minute. What is it that you're telling those around you? We shouldn't use God's name in vain because we are his ambassadors, right? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says so. Therefore, we should represent him well to those around us, and misrepresenting him to those around us is taking the Lord's name in vain. Okay, I'm going to bring this to a close and land the plane here and finish with some real applications for this in your home and your family. Now, let me talk to you parents out there, or maybe you're not a parent yet, but you plan to be. This is for you to have a strong family. Nothing turns children off more than hypocrisy in the home. When mom and dad don't live by the name they profess. Jesus said this about the judgment day. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's Matthew 7. 22 and 23. Mom and Dad, if you're going to live for God anywhere, live for God in your home. And so here's three things you can teach and train in your children to help build a strong family. Number one, wear the name of the Lord. W-E-A-R, wear. Wear the name of the Lord. When we call ourselves Christians, we are wearing the name of Christ. In 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. When you wear the name, you have to walk the talk. Every morning, tell your children, remember who you are and whose you are. That is, remember that you are a Christian, you were bought with a price, and you belong to God. Okay, number two, fear the name of the Lord. This is the type of character that we should build into our children, the fear of God. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then number three, share the name of the Lord. In Malachi 3:16, it says that those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and he heard them. So there you have it, everyone. The third principle for building a revolutionary family, the third commandment that God gave his people, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Put this into practice and start a family revolution in your home today. We hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please share it with someone you love. And by all means, leave us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. And come back and join us for the next episode. Until then, this is Dino, and thanks for listening to the Revolutionary Family. Bye.
At Family Face Ministries, our mission is to restore the face of the family. That means equipping families with the teaching and the tools that they need to succeed. You can support that mission with either a one-time gift or by becoming a recurring monthly partner. Your gift today will help keep families together. To give, visit familyfaceministries.org/give or call us at 877-336-6540.